You're listening to Rockwire.com, online radio that rocks. From Rockwired Sound in Albuquerque, New Mexico, of all places, this is a special edition of Rockwired Radio Profiles with your host, Brian Lush, exclusively at Rockwired.com. On this special edition of Rockwired Radio Profiles, we give it up for Rockwired.com's Artist of the Month, Edge of Paradise, and their debut CD, Mask. Stick around for more. This special edition of Rockwired Radio Profiles is powered by Rockwired Media LLC, a limited liability company. Please stand by. You voted, the polls have closed, and Edge of Paradise is Rockwire.com's newest Artist of the Month. A congratulations are in order for the band, and a special thanks goes out to everyone who took the time to vote. With the announcement of a new Artist of the Month also means that we've got a new set of nominees for a brand new Artist of the Month campaign. To cast your vote, go to rockwire.com/aomballot.html and cast your vote. All voting is powered by micropoll.com. Earlier in the year, Rockwired had a chance to speak with Dave Bates of Edge of Paradise regarding their debut CD, and you'll hear all that in just a few minutes. Here is the Rockwired.com Artist of the Month, Edge of Paradise, with the title track of their new CD, Mask. That was Edge of Paradise with the title track of their debut CD, Mask. Visit the band at their official website, www.edgeofparadise.com. Rockwired had a chance to speak with guitarist Dave Bates of Edge of Paradise regarding the new release, and here's how the interview went.
Well, it's a great CD that you guys have here, and now that it's out there for everybody to hear, how do you feel about the finished work?
I worked on it for a long time. Started with Robin McCauley. Me and Robin McCauley were making songs, and even started before that. I started to do instrumentals, so I was happy to get it out there. I was going through a couple of years working with Robin, and we started to do. I played in the side project he had doing the MSG stuff, and we had gigged a little bit and gotten some offers to release the CD with the four of the songs that are on the Edge of Paradise CD with him singing it. And it didn't work out for one reason or another. He went off and joined Survivor, so it was a good thing to finally get it out there. I thought I was never going to get them songs out, you know?
I see. Who all did you work with in terms of production?
Well, pretty much it was myself producing it. Robin contributed in the beginning doing the words and producing the melodies there. I did the music. There was a guy named Bob Pace. He engineered at the studio, and he would give us a couple opinions here and there. So it was pretty much a collective effort in the beginning. And then as it came forward into bringing Margarita in, she came in and added a lot of what she wanted to do. So I guess it's a team thing. It's usually the singer and myself doing the bulk of the producing. Seems to work good for what we do. We eventually might have other... We had a one song, actually Mask, we had a guy named Ryan Jones involved. So it's kind of an artistic thing. It's got the community element too, because we're all throwing our ideas in there and seeing what sticks. But pretty much the singer and myself, I guess, is usually how it works out.
So it sounds like this recording project was what brought the band together, then, right? Or
yeah, exactly. Yes. Backing up a little bit, I had the band with Robin. He got the gig playing with Survivor for the period that he did. And of course, now he's back in Michael Schenker's group. But we had an EP done. It was a band called Bleed. And so he went to Survivor. I had gotten an offer to play on a couple songs for a girl that was Margarita. Some producer had run into me, and they were doing some sort of a pop rock thing. And, you know, I was interested enough to go check it out. And once we started working, it was Margarita that was the singer on that project. We started to... you know, work hard to get the song done, and I realized that she might be a good fit for the band that I had now, with needing a singer and Robin being a Survivor. So it just kind of mutated into being the right timing, having the songs there. She kind of stepped in and had the right attitude and the right drive, and then we just started working from the project that we got hired to play on. We just morphed it into Edge of Paradise. It went pretty quick because we had started to work together on the last song, which we were getting paid to do, and then we had kind of worked an ideal of how we were going to go forward. And from there, we decided to just get the CD done. So within 6 months, we were able to take what we had left from the Robin McCauley days and bring in some new material and rewrite it and get it out there. So it's good when it works that way, you know.
Have there been any reactions to the material that have surprised you or didn't expect?
I guess the reactions are pretty much as I expected, except for the whole female-fronted thing. I think, you know, it's really still closed-minded. I didn't think it was as closed-minded, because nowadays it seems to be the popular thing to have a female front person. Coming into this, I wasn't even thinking like, okay, I'm going to have a male front person, female front person. I had Robin. Robin's a big shoes to fill. Who was I going to get, you know? It worked out to be that it ended up being a female. So, and it worked out because she was a good singer. She was a good front person. It could have been a guy. It could have been a girl. We put the CD out, and immediately we got feedback from, you know, a couple of different places that were saying, you know, this isn't anything like, you know, Evanescence or, you know, and people are judging it based solely on that one group that's really successful. And that, I mean, now it doesn't surprise me so much, because people really, I just identify, I guess, with what they accept to be acceptable, you know. Moving forward, it's become more of we found our own fan base and our own little niche within the sound that we have, but we didn't start out to go in any particular direction. We were just creating art. So that really kind of surprised me a little bit, that the acceptance would be based on something else that's already accepted. As an artist, you know, that mindset doesn't even enter in. It's a funny thing.
Right. Talk about how music began for you as an individual. How did that start?
Oh, well, I guess when I was, well, it goes way back when I was 8. Kiss was the big band, you know, and I wanted to be a drummer. So I got a drum teacher, 8 years old. Turns out the guy happened to be a real jerk. You know, and he wouldn't show me. He immediately said Peter Criss, who was God to me as an 8-year-old, sucked. And after I heard that, I was like, I'm not playing drums anymore. This guy's a jerk. We've got to get him killed. all kinds of thoughts, you know. So, you know, a couple years went by, maybe by 11, somewhere between 11 and 12, I decided to try guitar, and it worked. It seemed to work out. I've been playing guitar ever since. And, you know, it's kind of that one thing that I've been, that I set my life around, you know, and from cover bands and just continued on to being in L.A. and doing my own band. But that was really the big thing. I guess Kiss was the big icon when I was a little kid. They were huge and wanting to be like those rock stars, you know. And then Randy Rhoads, after I seen, you know, Randy Rhoads coming into the picture with Crazy Train and all that. Then Eddie Van Halen, all the big guitar gods. That was, from there forward, that was what fueled me.
And you kind of touched on this already, but talk about some of the other members of the band and what it is you think each of them brought to the table that makes this thing work.
Okay, I mean, in a big way, it was from the start. I guess the luck of this project initiated with meeting Tony Franklin. And I was doing guitar music. I was just going to do instrumental. I wanted to be the next Steve Vai or Joe Satriani. He brought Greg Bissonette in. So then, and right from there, I thought, well, now I have my all-star band. I can make these instrumental jams that will be accepted by the guitar guy community. You know, of course, we're going into the late 90s, early 2000s, when I started to think like that. Guitar gods didn't really exist anymore. Nirvana was the thing.
Right.
So, it just, as I started to write songs initially, then I morphed into meeting Robin McCauley, and I met a couple other people that I worked with a little bit, and, you know, decided that after writing a few instrumentals with these guys that this was kind of something that wasn't going to be as rewarding as I thought. I mean, there's a whole slew of great guitar players out there, and when you get right down to it, it's not that accepted of an art form. There's a few guys at the top, and there's a whole army of ants at the bottom who are really good, and I just don't want to be one of those guys in the ant pile. And then going forward, having met Robin and then starting to make vocal pieces, I had Greg Bissonette and Tony Franklin, and we'd go in the studio and record, and the response from those guys was getting, they were more and more interested, and they wanted to write new music, so that fueled me to want to write something a little bit different. So, you know, and just go inside and think off of the guitar and try to make music that sounded musical, whether or not it was a hard pattern on the guitar or a really cool scale or some time change that I liked, but it was just more of an artistic thing. So, and coming forward, it worked out really good because people could relate to it, you know, forward and musicians in the band, and now we have a great live band. We just added a new drummer and bass player, actually. Gene McEwen is our new drummer. He was in Armed Forces, Steel Prophet, but a great guy. So we have the chemistry now, and a new bass player has only been in the band for like a month, Kurt Schaefer, and I've played with him before in a few bands, but they all bring something now, because we're actually recording a new song, and anytime you bring in the new personalities, it kind of evolves. Even if they don't per se write the track with you or contribute what they think the song should be about, just having them play on it and coming into the room and playing the song, they bring their own baggage and their own ideas, and it just kind of becomes part of that chemistry. And I think that was a big thing that I learned working with all these different people too, was you got to let the song evolve. You can't stifle the art form. Like, and I know working with that producer was one of these incidences with me and Margarita. They stifle the track and the creative process with what they think is going to be sellable. Now, that's not something that, you know, it'd be great to make a lot of money, but we also want to first and foremost make something that we're going to be proud of, and I do. If I can't do that with the guitar, then if it's all about money, then you might as well be working selling cars or something, you know?
Visit the band at their official website, www.edgeofparadise.com. From their CD Mask, here is Edge of Paradise once again with Thrown It All Away. Listening to Rockwired Radio Profiles exclusively at rockwired.com. Online radio that rocks. Rockwire.com is pleased to present the Rockwire.com Artist of the Month, Edge of Paradise, and their debut CD, Mask. Powered by Margarita Manet's vocal pyrotechnics and the six-string assault of Dave Bates, Edge of Paradise boasts an edgy rock sound both unparalleled and uncompromising. With tracks such as Thrown It All Away, Schreddenstein, and the slamming title track, Mask is a debut CD like none other. Mask, the debut CD from Edge of Paradise, Rockwire.com's Artist of the Month. Visit Edge of Paradise at their official website, www.edgeofparadise.com. Take a break from the asinine chick flick starring Jennifer What's-Her-Name from Friends and treat yourself to a different kind of movie-going experience. The Guild Cinema is Albuquerque's only venue for eclectic cinema 7 days a week. From uncompromising documentaries to daring foreign films to kitschy cult favorites, the Guild Cinema provides something different, something better. The Guild Cinema, located at 3405 Central Avenue Northeast. For news on upcoming screenings, check out guildcinema.com. Save your neck, save your data, and most importantly, save your money. Computer viruses are a fact of life, but Dr. Dan's makes viruses history with a $35 virus removal. Most computers are repaired in 24 hours, so you can get on with your business and get on with your life. Dr. Dan's Computers, located at 4405 Cutler Avenue Northeast, Albuquerque, New Mexico. Call us at 505-881-8851 or visit us at drdanscomputers.com. Are you a music maker eager to take the stress and the cost out of recording? Then make a little noise at Elephonic Recording, the sound choice for the independent musician. Record in a relaxed environment and take advantage of 32-channel recording, a staff of session musicians and engineers who know what the heck they're doing. Elephonic Recording, a sound choice. Located at 5620 Venice Avenue Northeast, Albuquerque, New Mexico. Call us at 505-797-1333 or visit us at elephonicrecording.com. You're listening to Rockwired Radio Profiles exclusively at rockwired.com. Online radio that rocks. Welcome back to the latest edition of Rockwired Radio Profiles, exclusively at rockwired.com. I'm your host, Brian Lush, and today we're giving it up for Edge of Paradise and their debut CD, Mask. Rockwired had a chance to speak with the band's guitarist, Dave Bates, regarding the new release, and here's how the rest of the interview went.
And expand on the creative process a little bit. How does a song go from something you hear in your head to something that you hear on over the speakers? How does that happen for this band?
Well, this band, it's a guitar-driven band, so it always starts with the guitar. So far, we may, because Margarita is a really good piano player, we may start with some pieces that she had in the future. But for right now, I get an idea in my head, and then I try to find it on the guitar. And, of course, we have got a studio set up at home, and we'll demo it up and collectively move forward from there. Once everybody hears it, maybe, and right now, usually it's just me and Margarita, we kind of twist it up a little bit, and then once we have a structure, we put the theory to work. So I would go, you know, I went to a couple music schools, and all the stuff that you read about that you need to know really does come in handy when you're writing a song, because if we had to wait for the idea to come without the musical theory side of it, it might lose its steam along the way. So for me, it really is the textbook thing first, and trying to keep that soul alive inside the song and moving it into something that doesn't sound like a textbook thing, but you're using all the formulas and patterns that all the people before have done, you know. 12-note system, and we all have to play the rules.
And with that being said, what songs off this album resonate for you the most and why?
Well, I like Walk the Line. I think that evolved really in a way that I didn't expect it to, because along the way, the original version of Walk the Line was lost at the studio. They had a crash, a hard drive, something, and then we had to redo the entire song. So it allowed the song to change entirely, and I like what it became. It wasn't something, I mean, I had gotten into that mode, I think, where I looked away from the artistic thing, and I was just trying to knock out songs, and then they had the crash at the studio, and it really put me back into that mode of, well, it wasn't that great of a song anyway, let me take another look at this, not thinking about guitar. And what happened was it ended up being a really cool guitar song. It's a really weird thing, you know? You push it and it ends up being really sterile. It kind of has to evolve on its own. But that one, and, you know, Mask was really an interesting song too, because that evolved in a different way. In the period that Robin had gotten the Survivor thing, I started writing with a guy by the name of Ryan Jones, and in that interim period, I was playing in like an 80s tribute metal band. And I mean, this one will be a little bit of a shocker because it seems like it'll be off topic, but the drummer was a good guy and seemed to have his things together. One day, you know, I get a phone call, did you hear so-and-so hung himself? So, I was like, come on, you got to be kidding me. This guy seemed to be well-grounded. So then when we were writing the song Mask, the principal idea of not really knowing the people around you, you know the mask that they wear, became an element for me, that how I looked at the song and tried to incorporate a lot of the sounds and elements into that song. And for Ryan at the time, he was thinking along the lines, but a little bit different take on that, and it really shaped that song. So that song, I guess, having such a solid foundation, or, you know, it's paying tribute to this, and, you know, there's a lot more of an emotional content there in that one, or a different emotional content, to say the least. Those two songs are great, and then the Frankenstein remake, Shreddenstein, was fun, because I did that one myself, recorded the whole thing. It's just a big guitar thing, so that, I mean, they're all special in their own way when you're involved in writing them, you know?
Right. And how are live shows going for the band at the moment?
Well, it's been evolving. We had a different live band, you know, a couple months back, and they were younger, and, you know, they played really well, but we needed to evolve the whole live show thing and the studio thing, and as the writing process evolved, we ended up getting the new guys, and so the live shows, although received really well, have started to really grow upon where we started with them too, and the principal idea of just making it sound exactly like the CD and you know, being entertaining, it's very hard to find all these elements. That almost goes 360 back to me finding Margarita, because having someone that's a really good in front of people live, and somebody who can sing good in the studio and live as well, it's almost like hitting the lottery. I've had so many singers, and to get one that has that quality that they could maybe be a star, and, you know, Robin McCauley has that quality, and, you know, guys always have that, like Bruce Dickinson, or, you know, David Lee Roth got the rock star quality. It's very hard to pinpoint that. So, in the rest of the members in the band, we've just moved forward to find the whole package, so the live show keeps evolving upon itself and opens up more doors within that. It's an interesting thing.
What would you like people to come away with after they've heard this album?
Hopefully, they'll walk away liking what we're doing. But, you know, hopefully, maybe they could, I think the biggest thing for us with the music is to try to be a little bit different and get back to what music was or is or should be. It's not a financial gain. It's not a business model. You know, I mean, things have become so streamlined now that people really don't take the time to become one with the artistic thing. They just clone themselves after the next band. It's gotten to be, you know, we're a carbon copy environment for the musical thing, and it's not really a financially wise investment for somebody to be a musician. And I don't know if it ever was, but it certainly ain't now. you really got to go after sounds and really want to build on an art form. So I think what we try to do with this and what we hope people will walk away from is that we're trying to establish that foundation to build the band on, like the old great bands, like Sabbath, like Led Zeppelin, like any band you can hear and you know it's them instantly. That's what we're hoping people will identify with us.
Visit the band at their official website, www.edgeofparadise.com. From their CD Mask, here is Edge of Paradise once more with Shreddenstein. There you have it, Rockwire.com's Artist of the Month, Edge of Paradise. A congratulations goes out to the members of Edge of Paradise, and a special thanks goes out to everyone who took the time to vote. For Rockwired, I'm Brian Lush, and remember, keep your eyes forward, never look back, and make it up as you go. This special edition of Rockwired Radio Profiles is powered by Rockwired Media LLC, a limited liability company, and is available exclusively at rockwired.com. Online radio that rocks.
us, but let's not be alone. And the bottom line.